This GCN program brought to you by Frederick Remington, Fully Cooked Bacon, the thickest, meatiest, center-cut bacon in the industry. Available at FullyCookedBacon.com. That's FullyCookedBacon.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We continue with Nick Redfern, the final four segments of the show. The thing that bothers me, Nick Redfern, about all this is, can we, all these years after these crazy things happen, can we really prove what went on?
Yeah, that's a big question. And, you know, I'll be honest that so far there is no proof for any theory on Roswell. I mean, even the Air Force said, we think it's a Mogul balloon that came down to the ranch. But all the Mogul records they found never actually confirmed that one came down the ranch. And that was a problem, you know. Now, another unfortunate angle is that nearly all the people I spoke to, the old-timers, said that because these experiments were sort of semi-illegal, if not outright illegal, you know, taking, you know, people's rights away and using them as guinea pigs, when these programs were shut down, when the regular government realized what was going on, you know, with these Japanese scientists almost being given free rein, that what happened was that the ones who were sort of overseeing the programs panicked, and so the bodies were destroyed. There would be no point in keeping the shredded balloons and et cetera, so they were just destroyed. And the people I spoke to said, for as far as they are aware, practically all the documentation was destroyed as well to protect the guilty. Now, if that's true, then it may well be the case that we could never prove it because the documentation and everything else was destroyed. If aliens crashed, then of course the bodies would be preserved because they would be so unique and strange and they would be put into like cryogenic storage for decades, you know, forever, or as long as they lasted. The wreckage would be carefully studied. But if it really was just balloon wreckage, lifting body type crafts, and Japanese people, prisoners, handicapped people, you could see why they would just destroy all that to check what happened, but also to leave absolutely no kind of trail. So, you know, that's kind of a bit of a depressing for the, you know, the fact we're trying to get the answers. But what I would say is that one of the people whose story, a new story told in the book, came from a well-respected Australian UFO researcher, Keith Basterfield. And Keith shared with me a story just after Body Snatchers came out, because he'd been given, Keith lives in Australia, as I said, and before my book came out, he was approached by a guy whose father was in British intelligence and who had read files in Britain within MI5, which is the British equivalent of the FBI. He had read files on this whole Japanese secret experiments, handicapped people, high altitude flights. And apparently the Brits had uncovered something about this and had put their own dossier together on what had gone on. So there could well be light at the tunnel, whereas perhaps a lot of the original files were destroyed, but there could have been sort of supplementary material held by other agencies that still tells the story of what happened. And Keith Baxterfield's source, who I interviewed just after the book came out, when Keith put him in touch with me, he had a really fascinating story to tell again of sort of like a lifting body type craft lifted into the air onto this massive balloon array, flown out of one of the military bases in New Mexico and coming down on the ranch, and there being two crash sites. Obviously, the balloon wreckage would float down slowly because it was so light, but then because the aircraft itself was so heavy, that would just slam to the ground. So you had two crash sites on the ranch, and that's what even the believers in the UFO angle have suggested from all the testimony, that there were two sites. So in other words, you know, we're still getting sources like Keith Basterfield's source coming through even now, and putting this into sort of very disturbing category. But again, proving anything as so far as proved to be, you know, we just haven't got there. And I'm not sure we ever will. I mean, one of the interesting things, when the Air Force did their study in 94, and the General Accounting Office, as it was known back then, was looking into it, they found that all the outgoing records from Roswell from 45 to 50 were gone. You know, and I mean, that's a fact, that they were not where they should be. They've been taken at some point in the past. Nobody knew if it was 50 years ago, 20 years ago, or 24 hours before the General Accounting Office started looking for them. But they vanished, and they have not surfaced since. So that's what I mean about the evidence, the proof may well have been sort of systematically destroyed or hidden, squirreled away, or a combination of all those scenarios, just to make sure there's nothing left that is going to incriminate anybody.
Yeah, you can rest assured that all that, a lot of that documentation has been destroyed, if not all of it. There would be very little reason to really have it around.
Yeah, I mean, that's the ironic thing, is that if it was a UFO crash, everything would be preserved and kept. If it was a dark and dirty experiment, arguably everything would be destroyed. You know, there's sort of no middle ground between the two, really.
Yeah, well, there you go with that. There you go with that. The fact that something like that will disappear as quickly as those trillions of dollars of Defense Department money that Donald Rumsfeld tried to find before 9/11. I'll go bye-bye.
I think also the one thing a lot of people forget is the problem of who exactly is overseeing, you know, the truth of what happened at Roswell. Now, when the Air Force brought out their report, you know, the Mogul report, and excuse me, the Mogul balloon scenario and the crash test dummies, a lot of people said, you know, the Air Force are lying, they're the evil guys, etc. The more I looked into it and actually looked into some of the surrounding documentation, not just the report, I think there's a very strong likelihood that the Air Force of today, and in 94, 97 when they did their studies, the Air Force of today, I don't think actually does know what happened at Roswell. Now, somebody may well know the truth of these military experiments, and they may well have the files still hidden away. But I honestly don't think today's Air Force is in the loop for what happened back then. What I think is that the truth of this dark experiment, if it still remains hidden, it's hidden by sort of an elite group with an elite need to know, and the Air Force, I don't think, knows. And the people who we think would know, like, you know, the director of the CIA or senior people in the Pentagon, they may not know, but somebody does. But it could be one of these, what are known as special access programs, SAPs, where it doesn't even matter if you've got a top secret clearance. If you're not actually given, you know, the ability to join this particular project, you don't get in, regardless of your secrecy level. So I think, you know, when people point to the government and say they're hiding the truth of Roswell or the Air Force is, I'm not at all sure they are. I think we could well be dealing with a group that is so incredibly well buried that not even the government knows. The elected government doesn't even know what happened at Roswell. But as I said, someone does, and that someone may be the key to, you know, opening the door to this old museum that tells the story of what really happened.
It's the Warehouse 13.
Yeah, exactly like that, yeah.
The thing I always wonder about when you're keeping secrets this long is how it passes from one generation to the next, from CIA director to CIA director, or to whatever agency is involved, or perhaps when people take up these positions, they are read in. And I also wonder in situations like that whether a president of the United States is ever read in, beyond maybe, of course, Truman and Eisenhower for obvious reasons.
I think if it was a UFO event, at least some of them would be read into it because it would be so important. If it was just a massively embarrassing series of experiments that have to be hidden, they probably wouldn't tell them because there would be, you know, it could be hidden without complicating situations. But I think bringing people into the program and hoping they're going to keep quiet, I think would actually work really well.
Got more to come with Nick Redfern. Exploring the Roswell UFO conspiracy and more with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Neighbors, I want to tell you about my favorite graphics app. It's the award-winning Graphic Converter. You know, Graphic Converter is the universal genius for photo editing on your Mac. Join over 1.5 million loyal users for this Swiss Army knife photo editing app. It gives you all you expect from a top-flight image editing app with tons of features, and most important, it's easy to use. It's also far less expensive than that other app that you can only get by subscription. You know the one I'm talking about. What's more, you can get 20% off with your order right now. So write this down to learn about Graphic Converter. Go to www.lemkesoft.de/gene. Let me spell that. www.lemkesoft.de/gene.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
You've heard the phrase, you are what you eat? Not true. Actually, you are what you can absorb. So if the vitamins and supplements you now take are not being absorbed, what good are they? Introducing Protovite, proprietary liquid system that allows premium quality nutrients to positively affect the blood in an astonishing 5 minutes. Watch our amazing 2-minute live blood cell video at TrueHealthFacts.com. That's TrueHealthFacts.com. Then call 502-410-3411. Protovite is nutrition you can feel. Protovite is nutrition that gets in.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
Yesterday, I got a call from the IRS. They say I owe them over $16,000. I don't have that kind of money.
Don't try to fight the IRS on your own. Use Coast One Financial Group and let them help you get a fresh start. If you owe at least $10,000 in back taxes, call now for a free and confidential tax debt analysis. Call Coast One now for a free consultation at 800-643-4661 now. 800-643-4661. That's 800-643-4661.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So let's continue with that line of discussion, Nick Redfern, about the government and secrets.
I think that if, you know, there are people who from generation to generation are brought into this project to hide the truth of a domestic disturbing human experiment or series of experiments, I think it would actually be really easy for the truth to be kept hidden. Because if you imagine, you know, your average politician or high-ranking military officer is brought into the program to oversee it for the next 10 years. When they realize that by releasing this, it would cause a major uproar all across the country, by default, they automatically realize they can never talk about it, because it is something that would just color the whole history of, you know, the post-war era and what was done in the name of national security. So I think there's this immediate realization that regardless of what they may have thought about before they got into the program, that, oh, well, I'm going to tell the world what happened at Roswell. When they get in and they see the impact it would have on the government's credibility or its appearance, they shut up. And that may happen every single time, that when anybody is brought into the program, within seconds they realize, for the sake of the country, as they see it, or the sake of the government, they can never talk about it. So in other words, the sheer controversial nature of the event dictates that people won't talk about it.
All right, we're looking at events several decades ago that they want to keep a secret. Does that imply they're still doing things like that, but maybe have better ways to hide it?
Well, I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, you know, go back to what you said about sort of fabricating abductions and things like that. I mean, you know, you have a lot, there's a whole sort of sub-phenomena within that area of research. These stories are like military abductions, MILABs, you know, where people talk about the military abducting abductees. If that is going on, then you have to wonder, are they actually abducting them to try and figure out what's going on, or are they actually creating these abduction events? I mean, it's hard to say.
Well, if you ask Stephen Greer, he'll tell you every abduction is the military. Everyone. The ETs don't abduct people because they're benevolent space brothers, and they would have no reason to.
Well, you know, I mean, that's a perfect example of where you have a belief system that suggests that abductions are like a domestic program. But what I would say is that when I've looked into these examples of using psychological warfare and disinformation to hide the truth of something behind a UFO smokescreen, most of the cases that have surfaced have been from sort of the late 40s through the 70s. It's almost as if it's been scaled down, you know, in the last couple of decades. Or perhaps we're just not finding the cases. But, you know, you look at things like Roswell, Aztec, some of these psychological warfare programs, you know, the Orfeo Angelucci, things like that, they're all old cases. So I do think there's more of a likelihood that a lot more of this went on in the early years when they were trying to figure out how the UFO subject could be manipulated. And that maybe now that they've realized how it can be done, they don't need to do the tests anymore. You know, they don't need to run the experiments because they've got it down to a fine art. You know, they just use it now when they need to.
Well, maybe what they're doing now is the goal of what all that experimentation was meant to help them create.
You know, I mean, the real conspiratorial angle of all this is the idea of, you know, a faked alien invasion to take away even more of our rights and sort of usher in a new world order where one day we wake up and there's all these strange craft in the skies and it's an alien invasion, but it actually isn't. You know, it's big and burly military personnel flying them, but we don't get to see them. You know, that's
grand Project Bluebeam.
Yeah, I mean, that's at the real far end of the sort of paranoid UFO conspiracy scenarios, the idea that all of this kind of UFO encounters, it's all fabricated and it's all a build-up across decades to the day when it finally, due to the enslavement of the human race, occurs as a result of a fake alien invasion. I mean, could it happen? Well, you know, false flags in the past. Whether or not a worldwide false flag to enslave the human race via a fake alien invasion, whether that could actually be successfully achieved, I think that's very unlikely. But there may be people who actually think that, yeah, that could be achieved, you know.
Joe Rosen, who was the last, I think, an executive assistant to Wernher von Braun before his death, she claims that von Braun told her that there would be a series of kind of straw men or subjects to galvanize the American public. The first, of course, would be fascism. The second, communism. The third would be terrorism, and the fourth would be an alien invasion.
Yeah.
It's not out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah, there's this tendency to think that if someone's going to do that, they're going to do it overnight. But maybe, if there is some truth to it, that it would be a dedicated group of powerful figures might say, well, okay, we're not going to do it overnight. We may not even be able to achieve it in 20 years. But across 50, 60 years, we can convince the world that UFOs are real. And then after the 80th year, we can play the card, you know, the ace card, and reel out from some military base, some secret place, you know, the UFOs. Maybe you wouldn't even need a lot. Just strategically place them over sort of major cities, one or two. You don't even have to have a display of destroying a city, because the people pulling the strings could just say, okay, martial law right now. It's a major worldwide emergency. You know, as long as those things are hovering in the sky, your rights could be gone. And it's not like, you know, they've got to, like I said, have some huge Independence Day-style attack. It's just the fact that things are there in the sky, which would be easy to achieve, would be the goal, and just let the whole thing just work, run itself, really.
Yeah. Are as many people interested in UFOs today as there were 20, 30, 40 years ago?
No, but if every city had one of the major city had one or two of these things hovering in the sky, everybody would notice. And if a government spokesman goes on TV and says, this is happening across London, Moscow, Peking, New York, D.C., they're not ours, and they're not the Russians, and we don't know what's going to happen. So as a precaution, there's going to be a curfew, there's going to be martial law, et cetera, et cetera. And it's all done just by these things hanging in the sky. No buildings destroyed, nothing. It's just, this is what we've got to do because they're there, you know.
Yeah. Childhood's End, the Arthur C. Clarke novels.
Well, I haven't read that, but I guess.
Yeah, but it was the real thing in the book. They were real aliens. And the reason why they didn't come out for a whole generation was because they looked just like giant devils. They didn't want to freak. They didn't want to come out and freak everybody out immediately. It's actually a very good book. I've got some questions here for you, Nick, off the forum where our listeners can post questions for our wonderful guests we have. And, Nick, boy, this question, it is amazing. I had no idea. We had so many aircraft accidents in the month of July in 1947. But William Strathman, it's amazing. There's got to be well over 100 accidents that occurred with the Army Air Force just in the month of July 1947. Well over 100 happened. Every day there's at least five or six, it looks like here, four or five at least. He says, Nick, the following is a list of United States Army Air Force aviation accidents just for the month of July 1947.
Let's continue that question in our next segment because we just spent out of time. And then we'll get more focused on it. Oh, boy. Gene and Chris and Nick, you're in.
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Are you drowning in debt? Are you struggling to make minimum payments? If this sounds like you, know that it's not your fault. Credit card debt happens to good people. We've helped thousands of good people just like you become debt-free with our Debt Reset Program. Our Debt Reset Program is customized to get you debt-free in as little as 24 to 48 months with one low monthly payment. You don't pay a dime until we succeed. Call now to see how we can work for you. 800-912-6177. That's 800-912-6177. Again, 800-912-6177.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, $1,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water filtration systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
It's been said, any society is only three missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So the second part of that question, Chris, from our forum at forum.theparacast.com in the question bank, talking about a large number of aircraft accidents.
I'm absolutely amazed, actually, looking at this huge list that goes on and on and on. And, of course, they're from all over the world, but mostly in the United States. And what he says is, sorry that the list is so long, but every day there's some kind of aviation accident. On most days, there's more than one. And this doesn't even include naval aviation either. So the point is, instead of trying to hide a top-secret aviation accident as a flying saucer crash, which would presumably generate all the more interest, why wouldn't the military authorities just say the test vehicle was some known aircraft that crashed, like a B-29 or a B-26 or a C-54 with passengers, etc.? And he notes that in this list of accidents, an XF-12, a very high-performance four-engine recon aircraft, is listed. And so if you look at this list, it's jaw-dropping how many accidents we have. Boy, we must have had a lot of rookie pilots in the Army Air Force in the summer of 47, because there's well over 100 here. There's got to be. It's amazing.
Well, yeah, I mean, the whole issue of, you know, revealing what happened at Roswell back in 47 in the press still kind of confuses a lot of people. Even the Air Force, in their report, they admitted they could not find an answer as to why a statement was put out that a flying disc came down. Now, what we know for sure is that the first statement was that it was a flying disc. Now, one of the things a lot of people forget is that this was only 2 weeks, just 2 weeks barely, after the Kenneth Arnold sighting. Flying saucer, flying disc, or UFO, back then, didn't mean what it does for us after 70 years of UFO encounters. This was just 2 weeks after the Arnold sighting. There was no consensus on what flying saucers were. You know, I mean, you put yourself in the mindset of somebody in 47, and you think back just 2 weeks ago, And that was the very first mention ever of flying discs. And there was no history of it. Our views on UFOs or flying discs would have been very different back then because there was no history, no books, no magazines, no TV shows, no movies, nothing. So saying it was a flying disc back then isn't the same way as saying it was an alien spacecraft because, as I said, 2 weeks, the whole scenario of what they are hadn't sunk in or what they weren't. So nobody knew. I mean, all people knew flying discs back then were made of balloon-type wreckage. Nobody could say otherwise because there was only 2 weeks' worth of sightings. In other words, we have to sort of try and forget, not forget, but realize that, as I said, that flying discs back then implied something that had only been around for 2 weeks, we don't know what it is, versus what it is today after 70 years. So that's an important angle. Now, one of the other angles is the fact that we know that the rancher, Matt Brazel, got to the wreckage before the military and started talking about having found this weird stuff and showing it to his neighbours on the neighbouring ranches, taking it into town. You have to remember, the only reason that the military was out there was because they were told that Brazel had found it on his ranch. You know, they were scrambling around trying to find where this thing had come down because, by all accounts, it was a night flight and it went wrong. And so, in other words, the Air Force was essentially forced to say something because the civilians were on the site before the military. Now, had the military got there first, I agree with the person who asked the question. There would be no need to create cover stories or even mention it because they would have cleaned the site up. The fact that the civilian population in Lincoln County, and particularly the rancher and his family, got there first meant that the cat was already out of the bag before the military got there.
Right.
So then they had to come up with an explanation. And I think kind of building it up as a flying disc and then the next day dropping it down as a weather balloon was kind of like, no pun intended, it was just like deflating the whole thing. And I think that was done deliberately. You know, build it up, people are full of anticipation, and then, well, it was just a weather balloon, and people move on. I think there was that aspect to it as well.
Well, yeah. The fact, though, that the Roswell case basically stood dormant after that until people like Stanton and Friedman and William Moore started poking around.
It worked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that works really well. You know, that angle. On the one hand, if something happens and it disappoints you, well, you're just disappointed. But if it's really built up to be something huge, you end up even more disappointed. You know, that's a good psychological tactic. Don't just say it was a weather balloon to start with. Let's really amp it up. You know, let's amp up the intrigue. Everybody's, you know, sort of clenching the fingers, wondering what a flying disc is. And when it turns out to be a weather balloon, everybody, it really is depressed. And, oh, well, you know, we've been huddled in front of the TV, waiting and waiting, and now we've got this. You know, so in other words, the depressed kind of angle of the mindset of the person, you know, is sort of affected even more when it's elevated and then it drops. So, you know, that's a sort of little psychological tool that works really well, you know. And people did move on. You know, Frank Edwards actually mentioned Roswell in one of his books, but it was sort of a little one paragraph or thereabouts section, and he got a lot of it wrong, but that wasn't his fault. But, yeah, you're right. Until late 70s, when Moore and Friedman got involved, there really wasn't much going on after the initial announcement that, sorry, guys, it was just a weather balloon. Nothing really went on at all.
Let's look at the conspiratorial side of that, though. So Friedman just happens to hear about this when he's doing a UFO presentation, I think at a TV station or a lecture.
I forget the location, but that was broad. I think it was Louisiana. Actually.
Yeah, it was Louisiana.
Was it? Okay. Yeah. So basically the point being here, he's doing one of his UFO presentations, and he's approached by somebody with this information that leads him to the Roswell investigation. Was it an accident or deliberate?
Well, I think it was just down to just, you know, the fate of being in the right place at the right time. But what I do think is that whatever the scenario of Roswell really is, I think that when Friedman and Moore got onto it, that's when, you know, one of these disinformation programs really kicked into, you know, it kicked in big time. And I think maybe, you know, Roswell had been left to sort of, you know, just rot, so to speak, purely and simply because it had been hidden for so long that those hiding it were confident that nothing was ever going to come out because everybody had forgotten about it, you know, and it was just gone and lost and forgotten. And when Stan Friedman and Bill Moore started looking into it, the people hiding this were like, oh, no, there's a good chance, you know, this is going to come out now, or at least parts of the story, portions are going to come out. And so I think that may well have been sort of the, you know, the alarm bell going off that set off the idea of perhaps planting false witnesses, you know, creating false rumors, ultimately false documents,
right,
to try and keep people anywhere possible away from the human angle and just keep spreading extraterrestrial UFO stories and it'll all be okay. And maybe they're even confident or fairly confident that if all the documentation is stored into some bunker 50 feet underground, that the hard evidence can't be found. But, you know, there are indications that some other agencies may have also had their own files on these events, so it might not be that clear-cut. But I think definitely from the late 70s onwards, sort of counterintelligence operation was put in place to try and diffuse people from getting close to whatever it was that really happened.
Right, and then ultimately it resulted in the sending of the so-called MJ-12 documents to Chandra and Moore, and of course Moore being a pivotal figure in the initial Roswell book in investigation, and ultimately admitting that he was part of a disinformation program with Air Force intelligence. So there's too many smoking guns and too many too many coincidences for my taste for the government not to be involved in some form of bait and switch or disinformation.
We're going to switch to another segment of the show. With Nick Redfern and Gene Steinberg and Chris O'Brien, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. If you go to store.theparacast.com, stop by and take a shopping tour.
Be prepared for the next disaster with the Shelter Pod. The Shelter Pod is a large, all-season, heavy-duty, quick-deploy shelter. The Shelter Pod system can be set up in 30 seconds and includes an emergency medical kit, water filter, survival tools, and more. Are you prepared to take care of your family? Do you have everything in one place ready to go? Get it now or enter to win a complete Shelter Pod system at shelterpod.com. The Shelter Pod at shelterpod.com. Shelter when you need it most.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid, mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family survival to survivalistcamps.com.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
I can just see William Moore writing up MJ-12. Do you think Moore did it?
No.
No, I don't. People, a lot of people do. I actually don't at all.
No.
I don't think that the MJ-12 documents are genuine, but I do think somebody was deeply concerned about the fact that Bill Moore really had dug deep into Roswell, you know, in the early 80s. I mean, he was looking for all sorts of leads and sources and elderly witnesses. And I think somebody was concerned and was trying to, you know, push him down another avenue, which, you know, arguably did happen with people like Bill Moore and Stan Freeman, that they did focus a great deal of their time on those documents. And maybe that was the point all along. I can easily see when in July 47, the whole thing was, sorry, it was just a weather balloon. I can easily see how from 47 to about 77, there probably wasn't even any kind of campaign to hide this because he was just hidden away. There was no need to create programs at least to diffuse people away from Roswell because no one was talking about Roswell. But then all of a sudden, in the late 70s and early 80s, within ufology, everybody's talking about Roswell. It becomes somebody's major nightmare, so they have to try and do something about it. And I think, like I said, spreading false witnesses, grooming fake witnesses, pushing people down the fake document angle where time's taken up going to archives and trying to find similar documents, or regardless of what you think of the MJ-12 investigations, there's no doubt that people like Stan spent an incredible amount of time researching those documents. Could that have been that time applied to investigating Roswell, the case? Yes, it could. And maybe that was the agenda that these people had, was to, let's just get these people tied up, spending hours and weeks and months at archives and studying the signatures on the MJ-12 documents. You know, the witnesses who could actually tell something are getting older and older and closer to the grave, and, you know, keeping these people away a bit longer and pushing down another avenue, hopefully from their perspective, again, it would keep people away from the case itself and actually have them following the sort of spin-off aspects of it, which had no truth to them.
And I'm looking at here at these MJ-12 documents, the fact that there were so many different types of documents of a similar vein, and they're placed there for people like the Woods to look into, placed there when Stanton Friedman is judiciously looking through all these documents. That's pretty crazy when you think about it.
To me, this strongly points in the direction of an ongoing campaign to keep people away from getting to the heart of Roswell, whatever it is. And I think it's an ongoing thing. It's of such importance, for whatever reason, that it can the truth can never be let out. Now, a pro-UFO person would say, well, the information could never get out because it will prove that UFOs exist, the government's lied, etc., etc. We're not alone in the universe. It'll be a major story, and they don't want to reveal it. On the other hand, if it was a secret experiment, the truth could arguably still be seen as we can never release it because of the ramifications of the abuses that went on in these experiments. So whatever the truth is, somebody wants this hidden for either the alien technology angle or the embarrassment angle of releasing, you know, this dark story. So whether or not we'll ever get the truth, or whether it's a case that, you know, this program will continue until everybody involved is dead, you know, and then they'll breathe a collective sigh of relief or whatever and say, okay, now there's no chance of anybody getting anything.
Aren't we pretty close to that now, though?
Well, yeah. Like I said, the one bit of light at the end of the tunnel is the fact that although most of the people I spoke to said that for fear of being hauled before a committee or whatever and jailed, that they did try and destroy the entire trail of what went on. Documents, the balloon, wreckage, files, everything. But also, there's still a lot of these stories where people claim to have read some of these files years later, not the original Roswell files, but ones that other agencies had put together, but where they were trying to figure out what had happened. And that kind of seems like the case with Keith Basterfield's source, who I talk about in the book, whose father worked for MI5. And MI5, apparently, had been trying to figure out what had gone on at Roswell as well, and had their own sources. So there is a chance, and I think a good chance, that certain agencies, even if they don't have the original files, they have records that do tell the real story. And it only needs one archivist to make a mistake, you know, and something gets put in the wrong folder, something gets declassified. Even just one page, which seemingly looks innocuous, but there's a, you know, a paragraph in there that contains a smoking gun. I mean, it's kind of like which you may know of, the so-called Ramey memo, which is in this photograph of General Ramey overseeing, you know, this pile of wreckage at Fort Worth, which they claim was what was actually found at Roswell. And General Ramey's holding this piece of paper in his hand, and when it's been blown up and studied, a number of researchers like David Rudiak have suggested that the words "victims of the wreck" can be seen. Now, whether or not that is what the actual wordings are, the important thing is something like that, something so unconventional and unforeseen and unplanned for, something like that could happen, I think, that could blow the whole thing wide open.
Do you think it's going to happen in our lifetime, though?
Well, as long as we keep pushing and we're not driven by emotion to the point where we avoid looking into certain angles because we don't want the Roswell case to be upset. Yeah, I think the problem is most people who have investigated Roswell have done so from the perspective of trying to and expecting to find an alien answer. If you go into it totally unbiased with no preconceived I want to believe scenario in your mind and just go where the evidence leads, even if it kind of makes you think, wow, you know, all this research into UFOs was pointless. Just keep looking for it. I mean, that's all we can do. We can keep pushing and pushing and pushing. It's like they say, if you put your mind to it, you can do anything, and you can. And maybe the unforeseen thing like the memo, you know, the victims of the wreck, I think that's how it might come out, that somebody will be digging and digging. The people on the inside will be thinking we've got it all nailed down. And then just some little thing brings the entire house down.
And I wonder what kind of coverage this would get after so many years.
Oh, well, I actually think the idea that the UFO community was wrong, what you would get to start with, the one angle would be, you know, the media would be sort of poking fun at ufology and saying, oh, after all these years, you know, ufology was wrong and all these people have wasted their lives. There would be that angle. But then when the penny dropped, and if the story's true, and, you know, the major news outlets realized that there were these terrible sort of crimes crimes against humanity in the name of furthering early rocketry and, you know, high altitude flights and things like this, then it would be something along the lines of the Tunguskian experiment. You know, as I said earlier on, the President Clinton committee that was set up in the early 90s to look at these abuses where people had been used in radiation experiments from the 40s onwards. It would be something like that. It would become like an investigative journalistic study of, you know, a dark period in the immediate post-war era.
Nick Redfern, where can we find more of your stuff?
Well, all the books, including the new one, you can get on Amazon, some of them in Barnes & Noble, and people can reach me at my blog, which is called World of Whatever, and the address is Nick Redfern Fortean, F-O-R-T-E-A-N, nickredfernfortean.blogspot.com, or Nick Redfern UFO at Twitter, or just look me up on Facebook. There's a bunch of Nick Redferns, but you'll see me on there.
Oh, yeah, he's unmistakable. You'll never miss this one. We're found on Twitter as the Paracast. We have Paracast fan clubs on Facebook. We have the Paracast Plus. Go to plus.theparacast.com. We feature the commercial-free version of this show to subscribers, the After the Paracast podcast, which this week includes Monty Shriver, someone who lived in Aztec, New Mexico, when that crash allegedly occurred. And he says, no, it didn't. You'll hear the exclusive interview on After the Paracast. You can subscribe for as little as $1.49 a week. We offer free books for long-term subscribers. Plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. Another exciting journey with Nick Redfern. Thank you for joining us on the Paracast.
Oh, well, thanks, guys. Thanks a lot.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest price filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.